Kristen Bride, day two. Made it through day one, day two.
Run it back. Do it again.
Run it back. This is the thing about a daily show. You got to get up and you got to do it again. All right. Well, with me today is my very first guest co-host, who is a Wisconsin native, a bearded American, a Democratic campaign veteran, a business owner, coach, nerd, Democratic strategist, whatever that means, man of many titles, but most importantly, a good friend of mine, a good friend of this show for as long as that has been on the air, my friend, Joe Sopecki.
Thanks for having me. This might be the greatest radio show I've ever been a part of.
That is saying a lot, because you've been on a lot of shows before, including Mr. Brian Kelly, who's sitting in the producer chair this morning.
I think we forgot occasional guest devil.
Oh, is that your advocates. Is that what you're referred to as? Is that what all pretend like I wasn't not when I covered for Devil's Radio, I was not referred to as a guest devil. I would have liked that.
Well, we all knew you were a guest devil inside.
That's fair.
Co-devil, guest co-devil. There's a lot of titles. You know what? It doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm ready to rock. Let's do this.
So, one of the features of this show, which I'm excited about, is being able to bring in friends and acquaintances and people in my network to spice it up and go through the headlines with me, because, you know, people have different opinions than I do, and getting to hear those and getting those different perspectives is important. So on the first topic, to just jump into it, very excited to hear your thoughts on this one, because the biggest political news in Wisconsin that dropped yesterday is that the warrior conservative, the political outsider, the self-proclaimed enemy of the Madison machine, Kevin Nicholson, has called it quits in his race to become governor. And his statement said, "Over the past week, I have assessed the state of the primary race and has become clear to me and my team the only path forward for our campaign is attacking the other candidates in the race on the airwaves and running a very negative campaign." And then he goes on to say something about, "We have the capability to do that, but we don't want to do that." And it's about a month, 5 weeks from the primary. He was polling at about 10%.
Here's the thing. This election has already started. Anyone who requested early enough an absentee mail-in ballot, like Kevin Nicholson's name is on the ballot. People are looking at these things in their homes today. And he goes, "Oh, just kidding."
Yeah, that is interesting. He dropped out before or after the ballots went out.
This is a very late dropout.
So what do you think? He still gets votes then?
Oh, of course he will. Yeah. And that's
so fine. That in itself strategic to do it after the absentee ballots went out?
I don't think that was probably the well thought out part of this departure from the race, but it's just a weird oddity, right? He could have read the writing on the wall 3 weeks ago and gotten out, and the ballots were still already going to be printed, right? They get printed pretty quickly after the Wisconsin Elections Commission approves your signatures. You know, there was the challenge to the Michaels campaign's signatures. And then once all that stuff is gone through, then they get, okay, go print the ballots. It takes some time. So he was probably going to be on the ballot anyways. I just think it's kind of funny that the ballots are in people's hands and people are voting in this election. And now he goes, no, just kidding. Don't vote for me.
Will his name be on the ballot in August when people vote in person, or will they print new ballots?
Yeah. No, it's the same ballot. They print them all and then they mail some out and then they put them under lock and key for distribution to all of the places we vote.
All right. So I find it interesting that his reason that he's dropping out.
The stated reason
he's dropping out is because he didn't want to go negative against other politicians, other Republicans, which is, I guess, if it was true, somewhat noble for the cause. It didn't seem like that was true, because everything I know is that at least him and one other candidate absolutely despise each other. And so I think the willingness to go low, had it been there been a clearer path to victory, would have been not a problem.
Listen, there's text and there's subtext in a case like this. And this is where I get to, you know, nerd out because I've been doing this for more than 20 years. It's one thing to say, I don't want to go negative. But then you remember, he's been going negative like every day of the race, railing against the Madison machine. He's talking about Rebecca Clayfish. So there's
and
what he
Voss
says.
And all, yeah. Right. There's, but also, because even when he ran in...
For Senate in 2018.
Against Louis Vukmir, wasn't that... He didn't take the high ground in that one either.
Right. So that's the text, and okay, fine. The subtext to me, there's a couple different things going on here. Number one, he clearly viewed his path to victory as getting the Trump endorsement. And there was no way that Donald Trump was ever going to endorse an insider like Rebecca Clayfish, you know, a Scott Walker acolyte. You know, Walker was the first sort of beast that Trump slayed in the primaries in 2016. It wasn't going to happen. She went down there and asked for it, just like the rest of them. But once Nicholson didn't get the Trump endorsement, once Michaels, another sort of outsider or somebody able to make that case, got in the race, there was no path for Nicholson to win, even though he had a $10 million super PAC from the U-lines. That's one of the more surprising things. People drop out of races statewide all the time. This might be the first time that somebody with a eight-figure super PAC willing to spend on their behalf called it quits before the votes were even counted because he realized he couldn't win. Like, $10 million is a lot of money.
And do you think Dick Uihlein was like, yeah, I'm cutting you off, this isn't going anywhere? Or do you... Because who... I mean, this is where my brain... My eyes just glaze over when it comes to numbers that are so monumentally big, especially in dollars of like people's wealth. Who's richer, Dick Uihlein or Tim Michaels? Who has more expendable?
Probably the Uihlein's.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the Michaels family only owns three properties on the East Coast. You know, they've got the condo in Manhattan, they've got the mansion in Connecticut, and I think I read about one other one. So I think the Uihlein's, if they wanted to have East Coast properties, would certainly be able to afford more of them and probably nicer, bigger places. But that, you know, that's just one man's opinion.
So it was not the expendable funds were there, had the will to continue been there.
Yes. The resources were not going to be the issue. I think the issue was probably he knew that it was going to be really unlikely that he won the primary. And the only way to do it was going to have to go scorched earth. And between the people funding his campaign and himself and looking at all of the polling and the writing on the wall, and frankly, the fact that Nicholson is a young guy and desperately wants to be an elected official someday, there is a once in a while pulled out move in politics to say, you know what, I'm going to get out before it's over. I'm going to bank some goodwill and run down the line. Conservatives, activists, people will appreciate the fact that I stepped aside when it wasn't my turn, and maybe later on it will be my turn. So I think that's a factor. I think there's also a sort of, if you go on the ballot and lose twice in a primary, because he lost to Vukmir 4 years ago, and if you were to lose again, that's kind of it. This way he gets to say in the future, well, I didn't lose. I stepped aside, for the good of the party, because I didn't want to break the Ronald Reagan commandment and criticize other Republicans, which is, of course, nonsense because he was criticizing Republicans every day he was in the race. But he'll say that with a straight face 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, you name it, years from now. It's going to be a long time before Kevin Nicholson is done with our politics. Yeah. That I can promise you.
So who does this help?
That's a harder question for me. Like, I think there's probably the easy answer is, well, he's an outsider. Michaels is an outsider. So it probably helps Michaels. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that cut and dried. The Republican Party is really sort of divided in on itself in a post-Trump world, right? Listen, Michaels has the Trump endorsement. Clayfish wanted it. They are both very, very conservative on issue after issue, whether it is reproductive health care, whether it is on you know, immigration, whether it is on tax policy. These are really, really out of the mainstream conservatives.
But don't you feel like Rebecca probably knows more about all of it? I mean, I'm not saying
I agree
with her, but she knows, like, I said this yesterday. I just don't get the impression that Michael's would get in there and even know what he is allowed and not allowed to do.
I would like to see I would like to see Michaels stand before a room full of reporters or even just people and take questions for more than 2 minutes. I don't think he's done that a single time.
He dropped out of the public forum they had last week. So that's the, is it July 20th that they're doing, the 20th or 24th? There's going to be two big debates on on TMJ4 in July for both the Democratic Senate primary and Republican governor primary. And is that going to be the first time we actually hear him answer questions instead of just having sound bites?
Is he going to show up? I don't know if he's confirmed, right? Like, I worked for in 2013 and 2014, an outsider candidate who was running for governor, Mary Burke. She was the Democratic nominee, first woman ever to run on a major party ticket for governor in Wisconsin. And it takes time to, you know, and she had some government experience because she had been the Secretary of Commerce under former Governor Jim Doyle. It takes a little time to get used to, you know, this is what I need to know. This is what I can say. This is what's, you know, allowable. This is what I need the legislature for. This is an agency move. Just the vernacular of our politics is pretty tough when you're coming in cold from the outside like Tim Michaels is. So he may not be ready for prime time yet. We're going to find out.
Yeah, and you know, and I say that because it's not like I'm saying that he's not smart. It's just it's a different wealth of knowledge that if you've never done anything in government, you got to learn, and to step into a top job.
Maybe he just woke up one day and decided, I want to be governor. I'm a white guy. I'm rich. I got a lot of money. Let's go do this thing.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break, but when we come back, I want to get your opinion on the bigger question about going negative in campaigns, especially in partisan primaries. And is it good strategy, bad strategy? Good for the individual, bad for the collective, and all of that jazz. But I am here with Joe Zepecki as my guest co-host on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. And we'll see you after the break.
Can't wait. Kick this thing, but I really don't know.